Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, saints. Thank you for tuning into the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Broadcast. My name is Apostle Allen E. Coleman, Jr., and as the Lord has me early tonight at 11 o'clock on Eastern Standard Time, we are doing this so that that way there can be some early meat for us to chew on. Before we do anything, before we test the Word of God, let's go in prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you, first of all, asking you to forgive us for our sins and shortcomings. Forgive us, O God, for our faults and for our wrongs. And we ask that you help us, strengthen us, keep us, feed us, minister to us, stand by us, protect us, make us usable and use us, and fill us with the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, and give us a spiritual understanding of your most precious and holy word. And Lord, please feed all of us, including the messenger that you are using at this hour. Please, Lord, please, we need you. We need to know how to get out of this spiritual warfare that we're in, these battles that we're in, the things that we have seen in the past and went through. We need to know how to come out of this. Lord, we are in a war, and only you are the general of your own army. Oh, you're a strategic God, and we need you right now to give us your strategy. Tell us what your will is, O Father, and use your holy and anointed word. Make this lesson simple yet deep, and deep yet simple. In Jesus' name, we thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. And Satan, we rebuke you, and we plead the blood against you. And we are going to beat you in the head right now in Jesus' name and by his authority and his power. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'd like to ask you, my brethren, to join me in the book of Mark. Now, it's two scriptures I want to ask you to get, Mark chapter 1 and Ephesians 6. We're going to pick up on yesterday. That was part 1, and today is going to be part 2. So while you get Mark 1 and Ephesians 6, as the custom is, allow God to use me to read the description of the show to you. Let's go this way. Scripture shows us Jesus doing miracles. The key to understanding why he did the miracles is in knowing who he went against when he did them. And why? He gave the blind their sight again because he gave them eyes to see. He gave the deaf their hearing again because he gave them ears to hear. He blessed the lame to walk because that's what he gave them legs for. He healed those with leprosy because he didn't make them that way. He healed Peter's mother-in-law from a fever because that spirit doesn't work for the Lord. He raised certain folk from the dead because it glorified God for them to be raised instead of being buried. The Holy Ghost led Brother Paul to warn us of four classes of demons that are still attacking us Christians daily. They are attacking mankind daily and nightly. Some of the human race, they have captured and hold them in bondage, and those of us that are called Christians are the targets of those demons that Paul mentioned because those demons know the God that we serve protect us. If you don't know your enemy, then how can you fight them? They fight you because they know you. Those demons know the folk who pray. They know the folk who fast. They know the folk that will wait on God for a mate instead of just settling. They know the folk who don't serve the dollar. They also know the ministries that teach the truth so as to challenge the devil and his demons. It's time to wage war. It's time to rebuke the devil. And this, my friend, is part 2. Mark chapter 1. And we are up like we did yesterday. Again, remember, this is a part 2 lesson. So we're going to pick up on verse 21 in the Living Bible. Mark chapter 1, Jesus and his companions now arrived at the town of Capernaum, and on Saturday morning went into the Jewish place of worship, the synagogue, where he preached. The congregation was surprised at his sermon because he spoke as an authority and didn't try to prove his points by quoting others, quite unlike what they were used to hearing. A man possessed by a demon was present and began shouting, "Why are you bothering us, Jesus of Nazareth? I have you come to destroy us demons? I know who you are, the Holy Son of God. Jesus curtly commanded the demon to say no more and to come out of the man. At that, the evil spirit screamed and convulsed the man violently and left him. Amazement gripped the audience, and they began discussing what had happened. What sort of new religion is this? They asked excitedly. Why? Even evil spirits obey his orders. Now I'd like to ask you to jump to Ephesians chapter 6, and we are in the King James Version on this one. And we're going to start at verse 10. The apostle, Brother Paul, wrote, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this food that we are about to receive, this spiritual food, and we ask that it be nourishment to our spirit as natural food is to our bodies. And we just ask that you do the teaching and the ministering and feed us, O God, that we should be that much more wiser, and we should walk away from this little colloquy, this discussion, this lesson with our spiritual weapons and ready to effectively wage war. And we give you the glory and the thanks and the praise already. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you. Feed my brethren and thine own servant. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray. Amen. Last night, we discussed the fact, what we read in the scripture in Mark chapter 1, where verse 23 says that a man possessed by a demon was present and began shouting, "Why are you bothering us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us demons? I know who you are, the Holy Son of God." Jesus curtly commanded the demon to say no more and to come out of the man. Now, it's easy to read the scripture and to stand on the spiritual truth of by his stripes we are healed. Not only that, but we know we're covered in the blood of Jesus. And when the Lord frees us from demonic attack, we will come out victorious. But there's something that you need to notice about your enemy. Now, as we're studying this lesson, we're going to do what fighters do. Before they fight an opponent, they look at the tape. Before a martial artsman fight their opponent, they look at a tape. Before a general goes into battle, study their enemy. And that's what we're going to do right now, because some of us need to come out of certain things, and we've been trying everything. We've been reading people's books. We've been jumping up and down. We've been doing rituals. We've been taking 5, 10, 15 steps. We've been following all kind of advice. We've been listening to all kind of lectures and consulting people and getting self-help books, and we are still in the jam that we were in. So we're going to notice something from the best book on the bestsellers list, the Holy Bible. In verse 25, it said, Jesus currently commanded the demon to say no more and to come out of the man. So Jesus told him, shut up. Shut up and come out. But look at the next verse, verse 26. At that, the evil spirit screamed and convulsed the man violently and left him. Now, one thing I have to say to you, brethren, that if you want to understand how to get out of the spiritual war that you're in with victory, one way to do that is you have to understand your enemy. If you don't understand your enemy, if you don't understand his organizational structure, if you don't understand his strengths and his weaknesses, then you've lost already. Jesus told this demon to shut up and come out of the man. But the Bible tells us that that demon threw the man around a little bit more and then came out. Then that God has spoken the word of victory. He's already spoken that we're coming out. But one of the questions that we have, or should have, is, Lord, when? Now, the older folk will tell you, don't ask God no questions. It's not right to question God. Well, I beg to differ only because in Scripture, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That's what Scripture says. And we have to stand on the Word. We have to believe what the Word says because it's the Word of God and it was written by the Holy Ghost. And he knew what he meant when he wrote it. I'm going to read that for you out of the Living Bible. It says, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him. And he will gladly tell you, for he's always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask him. He will not resent it. God will not get mad at you because you asking him, Lord, how long? He will not get mad at you because you're asking him, Lord, why am I going through this? He will not get mad at you because you're saying, when is my mate coming? Lord, when are you going to send my wife? Send her in Jesus' name. Bring her forth. Or if you're a woman of God, say, Lord, when are you going to send my husband? Please send him. Bring him forth. God is not going to get mad at you. Lord, when is this going to happen? If you are going through a physical problem and you're asking God, Lord, how are you going to heal me? When are you going to heal me? He's not upset. Because he will give you wisdom about the situation. If you are being troubled or persecuted on your job, or if you're going through a financial crisis, or if the landlord is getting ready to throw you out, or if the court is pressing against you, and you need answers, God will not get upset because you ask him for help, for answers, because you ask a question. He's not going to get upset. He demonstrated that in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed three times the very same prayer. Some people tell you, well, leave it there with God and don't pray about it no more. Don't listen to them because they don't know what they're talking about. Jesus, who is God, manifest in the flesh, he said, Father, if there be any other way, take this cup from me. Because remember, he was getting ready to be beat. He was getting ready to be smacked. He was getting ready to have a crown of thorns thrust on his head. He was getting ready to be beat beyond recognition. He was getting ready to be arrested, handed over to hang up on that cross, and his flesh was going to go through all kind of torture. So he said, if there be any other way, take this cup from me. That was him being human, allowing himself to be human. It took a lot of power to do that. He was omnipotent in all he did. He was almighty when he allowed himself to be human. And then right after that, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. So now he's talking to himself. His spirit man is talking to put his flesh under subjection. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Remember, in Matthew 4, it says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So he came here to fight. The word rebuke means to correct. He came here to rebuke the devil, to correct him. The devil said, I'm going to make these people blind. He said, uh-uh. And he gave me a sight back. The devil said, I'm going to make these people deaf. He said, uh-uh. And he gave me a hearing back. The devil said, I'm going to make them crippled. They ain't going to be able to use their walk, their legs. He said, uh-uh. I gave them legs to walk. The devil said, I'm going to make Peter's mother-in-law afflict. I'm going to afflict her with a fever. Jesus said, uh-uh. And he healed her. Some of you was just in a battle. You were just getting ready to get attacked by the enemy. And somehow, things change because God said, uh-uh. Come on, saints. We have to understand the organizational structure of Satan. Now, again, bad enough, there's some people teaching on the Jezebel spirit, and they're wrong about it. There's some people giving demons all kind of names, and they're wrong about that also. The Holy Ghost wants you to understand, when it comes to you fighting your enemy, it's a few things you need to know about Satan. One thing, you cannot give him power by mentioning his name. That is not true. Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, Scripture says in verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were, you know what, Thank you, Lord. Doxa, go to the Living Bible, because that's in plain English. And it's important that you understand this, because, again, some of us are in a battle and we need to come out of it. We need to come out victoriously. So the Lord has put it in my spirit to read this in plain English. Verse 1 of the Living Bible, Ephesians 2, once you were under God's curse, doomed forever for your sins, you went along with the crowd and were just like all the others, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air, who is at work right now in the hearts of those who are against the Lord. All of us used to be just as they are, our lives expressing the evil within us, doing every wicked thing that our passions or our evil thoughts might lead us into. We started out bad, being born with evil natures, and were under God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were spiritually dead and doomed by our sins, he gave us back our lives again when he raised Christ from the dead. Only by his undeserved favor have we ever been saved and lifted us up from the grave into glory, along with Christ, where we sit with him in the heavenly realms, all because of what Christ Jesus did. It's important to know that. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. A lot of those tornadoes and hurricanes and tsunamis and those catastrophic things that are attacking countries that have worshipped other gods, the enemy is the one doing it. It's not God. It's not God. Even when God's judgment falls on the area, he backs up and removes his protection, and the enemy is able and allowed by God to attack the area. You have to understand, hell is in the business of hostile takeover. That's why you got to be careful who you let in your home. That's why you got to be careful who you let in your life. That's why you got to be careful who you talk your problems over with. That's why you have to be careful who you let touch you, because the palms are the area that transfers anointing. So you have to be careful when you let people touch you. You have to be careful when you shake a person's hand. Guard your palms, those of you prophets and prophetesses. Guard your palms. Don't let your palm come in contact with a infested area, because you just don't want your anointing to be tainted and all messed up or drained out of you. The enemy and hell is in the business of hostile takeover. You give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. In the Greek, that means no spot, no room, no area. You don't give the devil no leeway at all, because if he come in, he's going to tear stuff up. Not only is hell in the business of hostile takeover, but anyone that is following the enemy is not going to be telling the truth. They're not going to bear godly fruit. You have to be careful, brethren. Jesus told this demon to leave this man alone. First, he told him to shut up. Sometimes you cannot have dialogue with Satan. You got to tell him to shut up. When the Lord is telling you, I'm getting ready to bless you, and then the devil sends somebody to say, you know what, you're not going to be blessed. Why would God do something for you? You got to walk away or either tell that person, I rebuke you, which means I correct you. Or you're bold enough and the anointing is strong on you, you can just tell them, look, shut up. Just be quiet. I don't want to hear that. And just walk away. Don't let the devil stand there and draw you into a dialogue, because when it comes to trickery, we cannot outsmart the enemy apart from Christ, because the devil is the tempter. He's the liar. He is the murderer. He is the thief, meaning he's the only one. He excels on the level that he's on when it comes to wickedness. That's why we need the power of Christ. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 6, verse 10, if you read verses 1 through 9, when you get to verse 10, you'll understand that Brother Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Then he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He's letting us know it is not people we're wrestling with. It's not your boss that you're wrestling with and he's holding up your promotion. It's not him. It's not the Social Security office that you're battling with and they're holding up your financial blessing. It's not them. It's not the man that answered the phone when you call the UI company that sit there and think that he got an S on his chest and it's up to him whether your lights stay on or not. It's not him you're battling with. It's not the woman that's at the gas company answering the phone that tell you turn your gas off if you don't give us what you don't have. It's not them. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Scripture says, but against four classes of demons, against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Again, like we talked about last night, spiritual wickedness. The first class of demons are principalities. In the Greek, the word is arche, and it means chief. These are chief demons that are right under Satan. Satan is the king, and right under him are the arche, or the chief, in various applications of order, time, place, or rank. Either way, they are chief demons. These are big boys. Number two, it says, but against principalities, then it says against powers. Now, powers are from the Greek word exousia, which means power and authority. These are the muscle of hell. These are those that are in hellish authority. It is their responsibility to make sure that hellish stuff happen in an area, a life, or a family, even in a ministry. Yes, these are the second class of big boys. See, the first class are the chief that says, do this. Satan says, look, I want to claim that area or that ministry or that life or that family. So he tells the chief demons, the RK, go and make sure that I have that area. And so the RK goes to the muscle or the authority or the power and says, go and make sure all of our force is in that area or that ministry or that family. Make sure they feel us and know that we're in the place. And then Paul said, the third class are the rulers of the darkness of this world. And rulers are from the Greek word cosmokrator, which refers to angelic or demonic powers controlling the sublunary world. So spiritual wickedness are, again, territorial demons. These are the rulers of the darkness of this world, territorial demons. Those are the cosmokrators that control this world. The darkness of this world, the sin of this world, the wickedness of this world, the malice, the problems, they control that. They will sit over an area, a family, a region, a ministry even. If the ministry has kicked God out, the devil will come in there and he will sit a cosmocrator right over that ministry and all kind of hellish stuff will go on in that ministry. And last, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual, from the Greek word pneuma, pneumaticals. This is pneuma. This, you know, airborne. These are spiritual wickedness, not just any kind of wickedness, which is panorea, which is malice and iniquity. No, not just any kind of wickedness, but ethereal or spiritual, out of this world, in the realm of the spirit. So you can't fight these four classes of demons in the flesh. You can't fight these four classes of demons with your natural ability. Your singing is not going to work. It don't matter how strong you are. It don't matter how prestigious you are. It don't matter who your family is. It don't matter what ministry you go to. It don't matter what the name of the pastor or the prophet or the prophetess or the evangelist or the apostle is. It doesn't matter who the teacher of that ministry is. It don't matter if it's the rock, the stone, the stick, or the leaf. It doesn't matter. You cannot fight the devil on your own and expect victory. You can't think your way through this. When God has joined you with a ministry or a minister who is used by God to try to teach you or pass information on to you to help you come out of the fight you're in and come out victoriously, you can't have an I know spirit, because an I know spirit would cause God not to say anything. When Jesus Christ told Peter, Satan has asked to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith faileth not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Peter said, oh, no, Lord, I'm willing to go to prison with you. I'm willing to die with you. Oh, I'm willing to go through with you, Lord. Oh, glory. But the Lord said, Peter, by the time that the rooster crows, you've been denied me three times. Come on, saints, understand what God is saying. You got to rely on the power of the Holy Ghost. Brother Paul said in Ephesians 6 and 10, finally, at the last bit of information I can give you is, brethren, be strong in the Lord, not in yourself, not in your name. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You're going to need the Lord's power to make it through this. There's no way that you can get the victory without Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of the world, the Bible says. Oh, there's no substitute for victory. Join me in this prayer. Brethren, Satan, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we rebuke you. We bind you in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood against you. We command you to get out of our life. Go back to the pit of hell from where you came. We loose our stuff from your grip. We loose our elevation. We loose our marriage. We loose our family. We loose our children. We loose the anointing. We loose the ministry. We loose all of our stuff that God has given us from your grip. And we plead the blood of Jesus over our stuff, over everything we just mentioned, so that you can't touch it. We know that when you touch anything that the blood is covering, you will be saved. And we know you can't be saved. You don't want to be saved. It is not in you to be saved. Oh, God, we thank you, Jesus. All of Satan's demons, we call you out and cast you out of our life and our affairs. It don't matter what your name is. It don't matter what your rank is. It don't matter what kind of demon you are. As long as you represent hell, we plead the blood against you. We cast you out. We command you to go back to the pit of hell from where you came, and we take our stuff from your grip. We plead the blood of Jesus over our stuff, that it be protected in the name of Jesus. We forbid you by the power of the Holy Ghost. We forbid you to come back into our life again. You can't come no more. This door that we're closing, you cannot come through no more. We lock it with the keys in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Ghost. Father God in heaven, we thank you for being our God. We thank you for giving us the victory. We thank you for hearing our prayer. We thank you for leading this prayer. We thank you for leading this lesson. Thank you for the information, Father. Thank you for the intel, Master. Thank you for your strategy, O King. Oh, we thank you. Hallelujah. And we ask, Lord, that you dispense holy angels, heavenly angels, to come and to take up residence in the area that those demons were that we cast out, because now that area is clean and swept out and garnished. So we need some angels to come and to stand there so that no demon can come back when that unclean spirit travels over dry ground looking for rest and says, I will go back to the place in which I just left. And when they come back, they'll see an angel there. They won't see it empty, so they know they can't come in. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for being our God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And Lord, every one of my brothers, every one of my sisters in the ministry or on the bench, everyone that you are even bringing unto yourself, we ask that they be covered under this prayer. Bless every prayer box in every ministry that you have set up. Bless every ministry that you have set up. Oh, Lord, we ask you to show up those that are teaching false doctrine. We ask you, oh, Lord, to expose those that are not teaching the truth, those that are misleading your sheep, those that are church-hurting folk, those, oh Lord, that are swindling people and conniving and stealing from people, Lord. We ask that you deal with them. These revivals and workshops and all of these dynamic events, so they say, that are being put on right now because it's income tax time. We ask, Lord, that you don't even let your people partake in that. We ask that you move them out the way. Don't even let them attend those wicked events because the devil is lying all the way through. We ask that you be the God of people's finances. We ask, oh Lord, that you show people where to sow, how much to sow, how to sow, and that you bless them, oh Lord, for opening their hands. Father, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, oh Lord. Oh, glory. We just thank you, and we worship you. Oh, Lord, I still ask, bring my wife forth, because, Lord, it's times like these that I need her to stand with me as you use me to fight the devil and to protect the sheep and to pray over your folk. There's a great anointing that has moved out of me because you put it on me to be dispensed right here and right now. And now I need, oh, Lord, to be strengthened. It is not good that the man be alone. That's what you said. So, Lord, do your thing. Every prayer request that we have before you, please read it, please hear it, please answer it, and, Lord, please confirm the word with signs following, and we give you all the glory, the thanks, and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, and we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Oh, God, my brethren, oh, thank God for that lesson. Thank God for that talk. Thank God for that little colloquy and that conference. Thank him for that. To ask you to notice on my Facebook page, notice the link for prayer requests. For those of you that want to write the ministry and leave your prayer requests in the ministry's, on the ministry's website, in the section, the tab that says, I guess it says anointed prayer request or anointed prophetic prayer or something. It's on the ministry's website. Oh, God. If you look on my wall on Facebook, you'll see it. It's right there in the description and the announcement of this broadcast. Also, the Lord put it in your heart, and I pray that he does, to be a blessing to the ministry so that we can continue helping those that are homeless, sleeping on benches, help these sisters that are homeless and struggling, and the runaway teenagers that are sleeping on benches downtown, sisters that need care packages to clean up their body and keep themselves smelling good and being fresh. Brethren, we need your help because the ministry operates by donations. We are not Facebook-based. We are really out there in the streets doing all kind of things, bringing food, making sandwiches, dropping our bags, going to Dollar Tree, and with the love offerings that God bless y'all to share, we have been going down there buying things for a dollar, like toothbrush, toothpaste, razors, shaving cream, deodorant, feminine products, things for children like bat and balls and coloring books and crayons. I mean, we just been trying to let God use us to be successful in street and outreach ministry. And we really need your help. We really do. You're not under commandment. I'm not going to beat you over Malachi 3 because like God always used me to say, Malachi 3 was not, the way it was written is not used the way people use it now. That's not what it was written for. You can always call the ministry, 203-745-8162 for prayer, 24/7. Even after you hear this broadcast, you can call for prayer. God will use me to stand with you in prayer. It doesn't matter what the situation is. If you need to vent, if you even if you're a sister, you can call. I'm not married right now, but I can't turn anybody away. So I pray that you allow God to use you to call because you don't have to go through the battle by yourself. God got us there for one another, to encourage one another. And the name of this ministry is called the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Ministry, and it provides spiritual relief and natural as God enables us to. So again, 203-745-8162, that's the ministry's phone number, 203-745-8162. Allow God to use you and let him lead you to call because we're right here for you. I love you and God bless you. And after 12 o'clock, there's going to be another broadcast. I don't know what it's going to be about, but there's going to be another broadcast. So praise God. That's 3 days or 4 days of powerful teaching for you. And we love you in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, it's time to rebuke the devil. He won't leave without a confrontation. You got to tell him, shut up and come out and leave me alone. And those of us that are covered under the prayer God just prayed, let's just keep reminding God to please honor the prayer. We love you. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Bye-bye.